How equipped are you? You want to go into marriage? What equipment are you carrying into it? Is marriage difficult or easy? It depends on how equipped you are. How equipped are you? What is equipment for us going into marriage? Knowledge. Knowledge. Many people want to marry, but they have not really learned about marriage. Thank God, Pastor talked about Dr. Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe has a popular saying, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Many people don't even know the purpose for marriage. Why do you want to get married? Because all my friends are getting married. Why do you want to get married? Because I'm lonely. Why do you want to get married? Because I'm free this summer. What else should I be doing with my time? There are 7 biblical purposes of marriage. The first one is, you see it in Genesis chapter 2. It says, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. A helper that is suitable and adaptable for him. So first purpose of marriage there is for 2 people to complement each other. Everybody comes with strengths and weaknesses. And what God wants is that by the time we become one, we complement each other's strengths and weaknesses. Everybody comes with strengths and weaknesses. Nobody, you see that romantic saying that you complete me. It's not romance, it's practical. It's exactly how marriage works. The other person is meant to complete you. Usually will complete you. What does this mean? It means usually opposites will attract in marriage. So talkers will generally marry listeners. Spenders will marry savers. Spontaneous people will marry planners. Organized people will marry disorganized people. Is somebody getting that? Those that are married, you're already experiencing what I'm saying. The opposite first attract. The listener is so happy to be married to the talker because she doesn't have power to talk. There's somebody that can talk for the family. The spender generally will be attracted to the saver. The extrovert will generally be attracted to the introvert. That's how it usually works. There will be a lot of opposites that make both of you work together. Unfortunately for many people, when they're looking for a spouse, they think similarity is what I should be looking for. Of course, I don't mean opposites in value. Your values are the same. But your personality and other things are going to be different. So stop looking for somebody exactly like you. No, that person is going to be different from you. Is somebody getting this? So the way God designed the first marriage was based out of the need. Say, you need somebody that will be comparable, that will be a helper, that will be comparable with you, that will complement you, that will be complementary to you. So they complete you. Are you here, somebody? So that's one purpose of marriage. Another purpose of marriage is somebody that would collaborate with you. Both of you will now have a joint vision and dream. The Bible says, if 2 of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. God doesn't want you to go the journey of life alone. He wants you to collaborate with somebody else and do it together. If 2 of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. 2 are better than 1. They have a greater reward for their labor. Statistically, married couples make more money than single people. Because when you join together, there's a law of synergy that states that the outcome of our synergy is going to be greater than our individual sum. Is somebody getting that? Another major need for marriage or purpose for marriage is having children. Nowadays, I see many people say we just love each other, we don't want kids. That is against scripture. That is quite selfish of you. The Almighty God has his own standard for marriage. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Your parents also were gracious enough to birth you. Now you have entered your own term and tenor. He said it ends with you. That's very selfish. Part of the purposes of marriage is to have godly seed. God wants you to have children. And having children is such a blessing. Yes, it might be demanding, no doubt. but it's such a blessing. You know, I just think of it sometimes, how gracious God is. God giving us the ability to have kids is such a gift. And he wanted us to partake of some things that he enjoys. One of it is this. When you have kids, you can literally see yourself in those kids. You know, the Bible says we're made in the image and the likeness of God. God sees himself in us. And he's giving you two a chance to see yourself in your kids. If you have kids, you'll be seeing yourself in them. Or you see your partner in them. You say, you are stubborn like your father. I've seen it in you. You will see yourself in your kids. It's so beautiful to see a mirror of yourself, to see a young version of yourself. Sometimes you even have the chance to marry the young version. I mean, to see the younger version of who you married. Oh, my second daughter is exactly like my wife. Very annoying. Very annoying. The last born is me. It's a son. It's like me. Very cool. Yes. Very cool. Because I'm very expressive, very happy. My son is like that. But my second daughter is like her mom. When I was dating Pastor Mildred, I almost didn't marry her at some point. Because I felt she was very ungrateful. Why was that? Because she's not expressive. If you buy a house for Pastor Mildred, the same way she will tell you thank you is how she will tell you thank you if you buy her a book. Same thank you. Ah, it was annoying. What is when we're dating, sometimes I'll even borrow money to go and buy her a gift. Sometimes I'll go and make deposit and owe to buy her a gift. And when I give her the gift, thank you. I say, if you know the suffer, I suffer. So I told one of my friends, I'm going to break this relationship because this girl is so ungrateful. I can't be suffering this much. And this is the appreciation I get. No, it's not going to work. It was later I found out she was just not a materialistic person. I'm not an expressive person. You don't impress her with any material thing, no matter how big it is. Don't clap. It's not a good thing. It can be frustrating for the giver. But there are a lot of people like that. So she's not moved by material things. So many years down the line, when we now got married, and when I found out that was the issue, we got married. I pitied her, married her. So, So we now had kids, you know. So like I told you, my second daughter and my last son, my boy, they have the same birthday, August 22nd. So this particular birthday, we had asked them what they wanted for their birthday. They had told us, my daughter wanted this one camera, I think it's an Amazon camera or something, I can't remember, or Apple camera or something. Then my son wanted the PS, one of these games, you know. And they were expensive, you know. So, but we bought it for them. And the night before their birthday, as in night into midnight, we now give them the gift. My boy gave him his gift. Cool guy like me. When he opened it, he said, whoa, the gift! He hugged everybody, he showed everybody, was excited. I said, yeah! When we give my wife's daughter her own gift, she just looked at it. Say thank you. I say better rejoice. Which one? Me thank you. Rejoice, my friend. Is this how you? But it was easy for me to understand because I have dated her mother. I know this how they are. This how they are. So God is giving you a chance to see yourselves or your partner in your kids, after your image and your likeness. It's a rare privilege that many people might not have. So don't get married and say you don't want to have kids. Another thing you learn when you have kids is that you begin to learn that there's no way your kids can love you as much as you love them. That shows you that there's no way you can love God as much as he loves you. He always loves you more. Always loves you more. Then you begin to see other things. How your kids can pay more attention to the gift than the giver. Give them a phone. They don't even talk to you again. We do that to God all the time, right? Gives you a blessing, gives you a wife, gives you a husband, gives you a building, gives you something, a car, that he doesn't see you again. Gives you a job. You are now more fixated on the job than the giver of the job. And usually there's more from where that came from, but you are so fixed. So this is the height of life. You see, when they make dumb decisions, not thinking of the future, that I don't want to go to school again. My kids tell me that all the time. I don't want to go to school anymore. I said, thank you very much. So you see how you make some dumb decisions and God is overriding those decisions that you don't know what you're talking about. You just see a lot of things in our relationship with God in those kids that you will never have a revelation of just by hearing. When you experience it, you see how we behave to God. How we behave to God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So having kids is important. And God wants to populate the earth. This whole earth started with two people. Now we have over 8 billion. And God wants godly seed. Especially for us that are Christians, you must have kids. In fact, statistically, to be safe, you must have more kids than the two people in the marriage. So the minimum you should have is 2.5. And since there's no half, just make it 3. But you can't have less than 2. That's what the statistic says, because you are taking 2 out. If you just have 2, you're only replacing what you took, which we have not increased. He said, be fruitful and multiply. So replacing what you took is not increase. So you must at least add an extra to what you took for the number to continue to match. We must raise godly seed. There are too many people in church that can't find husband, can't find wife. So at least 3. Yes, at least. Thank you for those that have 4 and 5. The Lord bless you. You are contributing. Do you know that in many countries today, what the statistics show is that those countries can never recover population-wise? Do you understand? There are countries today. In fact, they say the top, out of the greatest countries, the top 15 of them are already behind in terms of, they will never catch up. They will only depend on immigration. They can never, by population again, meet up. Because the way generations work, it's not like you can't replenish it overnight. If you have missed a time frame, it will take generations to catch up. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So they say about top 15 of the greatest countries in the world are behind. In fact, Fox posted something this week that the most popular name in the UK now is Mohammed. That's the most popular name for about 3 or 4 years running. And I know you don't know what that means. Oh, what that means is that a time is going to come, a place like the UK can be a proper Muslim nation. Will be a proper Muslim nation. Because we don't get it sometimes as Christians. We think this is just a game. We think it's just about me and you. No, God has a bigger agenda. As same does Satan. There are many countries. Countries like Turkey used to be a very powerful Christian nation. If you have been there before, you will see where Apostle Paul and co preached, where the apostles preached. Today, Turkey is a full Muslim nation. The same thing is going to happen to most of you. We just came back from Europe tour. We did 7 cities in Europe. Came back from Europe tour. The same thing. Europe is going to be fully Islamized in just a couple of years. And in case you don't know how democracy works, it's a game of numbers. It has nothing to do with the origin. If there are 10 people to vote and 9 are Muslims, guess the laws that will be passed. Muslim laws. So it's not about prayer. But you can't pray it out. But Christians believe so much in prayer. You can't pray everything out. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Yeah, so most of the UK and Europe is going to be Islamized in a short time. They're already having mayors that are Muslim back to back. Very soon, everybody in the key positions will be Muslim. So Sharia is not far from it, trust me. So you see, the Muslims don't do abortion, they don't do LGBTQ. But Christian nations, or in quote, Christian nations, believe that people can marry same sex, which means they're not going to biologically contribute. Then we now add abortion to it, which means the one that we've entered, we remove. But the other guys on the other side are having many wives, many kids. It's a matter of time. Your great-grandchildren might be wearing hijab. You know hijab? They won't have this wig you have on. They will be properly hijabbed. Yep. So that's why I go around the world teaching these things. In countries like Canada too is in big crisis, population-wise. So when you see them doing immigration, it's not because they like people. They need people. There are cities you enter in Canada, you have no clue you're in Canada. I was in Vancouver some years ago, no trace I was in North America. It looked like I was in Asia. Everybody was Indian and Chinese. From the airport to the hotel to everywhere we went to, taxi, everybody was Asian and Indian. Was Asian, Chinese or Indian. That's Canada, your neighbor here. Love their, and the way population works, the younger people pay tax to take care of the older people. They didn't have any young people. So a lot of the old people are selling their businesses to immigrants because they don't have their own people to sell it to. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Population will affect us economically. Wherever you work, if the population cuts to half, it means your income is going to be cut to half. If we have half the people we have now, it means we will sell half the cars we are selling now. It means we'll sell half the houses we are selling now. It means we'll sell half the clothes we are selling. That's what it means. People don't know. One of the biggest strengtheners of economy is population. We must be giving birth to people. Is somebody catching this? So one of the purposes of marriage is having, how equipped are you? Do you know the purposes of marriage? Then the last purpose of marriage I'll talk about. Is this time correct? Wow. Okay. It's very correct. Okay, thank you. So, another purpose of marriage is care. Care. One of the reasons why God created marriage is so that people can care for each other. God created marriage so that you have your own personal chef, your own personal masseuse or whatever, your own personal therapist, your own personal escort, your own personal driver. That's one of the reasons why God created marriage. That you have one person that has sworn and pledged to be there for you in any area of need. Oh, it's such a big deal. Trust me. You don't want to hear how much people pay for sex. Go and Google how much OnlyFans cost. And how much they make OnlyFans every year. Billions of dollars. But you have your own stripper at home. For free. When she's changing, she's stripping. If she's a good girl, she will even strip for you. You don't want to hear how much is being spent on prostitution. Go and Google it. Billions of dollars. You have free sex at home. You see, everything you see going on are things God has provided for in marriage, but people don't want to marry, so they are going to pay other people to do it. Those of you that don't like to drive, you usually marry a guy that can drive or a woman that can drive. That's your personal Uber. I drive my wife everywhere. Yeah. It would have cost money. Go and check how much Uber makes every year. Do you know there are companies now that you pay for them to hug you? Oh, yes, some of you know that now. You pay and you just come, they hug you. So hugging. 30 minutes hug. Not sexual. It's not nothing sexual. Just hug you. Okay, your time is up. 30 minutes. God bless you. See you next week. They are trying to make, God has provided for these things. But they, because they can't marry or they don't want to marry or they are not married, they have to pay somebody else to do it. Do you know scientifically, just cuddling and holding makes you healthier? God has provided. When God says it's not good for man to be alone, why are we arguing? There are people, you know that people are arguing with God. I can live my best life. Relax. It's not good to be alone. I want all of you to marry. Except those that maybe have a calling or something that requires that they do not. Other than that, everybody should marry. This world is a better place when we all marry. Haven't you seen those people that say they are feminists sometimes? They have a page. They'll be shouting every day, men has come. Men are useless. Men are useless. They don't have a relationship. The moment they find a lover. You see the same page. She become marriage counselor. Every week she's posting love. She was just unhappy. If you know the amount of things going on in this world, because people are just unhappy. Just a hug. Change the page. Just a hug. Just someone to love him or her right. They become, they open YouTube channel now. Every week they are posted on love now. All that was missing, it was not conviction they were speaking from. It was trauma that was speaking. They were angry with life. Having a companion. It's not good for man to be alone. They have just found out. I like science. When I teach, I use scripture, science, or statistics. Science is the slowest. Science is great, but it's slow. It's just taking science many years to find out loneliness is one of the highest killers. Something they said in Genesis 2. That it's not good to be alone. The Creator said you don't walk well alone. You are arguing. You are trying to prove to us that there's something great about being single. Of course, you must live the best you can when you're single. But please be clear. The destination is that you will get married. That's what we want you to get to. The Maker said, it's not my opinion. My opinion doesn't count. Your opinion doesn't count. The Maker has said it. It's not good to be what? Science is just finding out now that loneliness is one of the highest killers. I could have told, spared them years of research and study. They found out that today loneliness is equated to smoking 15 sticks of cigarette a day. That's the rate of I can kill. Science is just finding that one out now. It's one of the highest things that can kill. They found that married people live longer than single people. There were too many effects of loneliness. They found that men are dangerous when they don't have something to live for. The one thing that calms a man down is when he has something like a family to live for. Once he doesn't have that, he can join any gang, can do anything, can take any risk. So it's a danger to himself and to society. So married people live longer. Married people make more money. I can go on and on. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? It's not good for man to be what? Alone. So having that partner to care for you. Do you know the power of companionship? Having somebody to talk to. Anywhere in the world, talking to yourself is insanity. Anywhere in the world. If somebody just walking, they will call the service and say, come and check this guy out. Then you want to tell me that's okay. No. Just if you are going through something, having somebody to share with alone makes you feel better. And these are scientifically and statistically confirmed. Imagine something great is going on in your life, nobody to share the testimony with. Something tragic is going on in your life, nobody to share the burden with. It kills. Star Wars science says. It kills when you carry all those things inside. It will kill you. Many diseases are linked to loneliness. Are you catching what I'm saying? Just having somebody to hug you, somebody to cuddle you, somebody to talk to you, somebody to listen to you, somebody to just be there. Have you noticed how fast a building dilapidates when there's nobody inside? Because human beings have energy. So just being with somebody else in a house has energy. You don't even have to talk compared to being alone. You eat alone. You cook alone. You drive alone. You sleep alone. You're dying. That's what the science says. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? Of course, this is not to pressure anybody that is single. No. It's that I just want to make sure your desire is in the right place. That you know that we are getting married. Don't get to the stage where you start making excuses for being single, that you want to stay single. No, we don't want you to stay single. You say, I'm already old. We'll find an old person for you too. Marry. Trust me. You see, many people think they don't want something. You can't tell us you don't want something you've not experienced. Experience it first. Experience it first. When you experience it, come back and tell us. And maybe you experienced a bad one. It didn't work out. We'll arrange a good one. Experience a good one, a healthy one, and tell me that you prefer being alone than being married. I will listen to you. But until you experience a loving husband or a loving wife, how do you know? When I see young men say, I want to wait for everything to be settled before I marry, they're just clueless about the facts. You don't wait for everything to be settled before you marry. You marry so that everything becomes settled. Expect a good woman or don't go and marry a witch. Because when I encourage men like this to marry, they say, Pastor, you don't know what... No, you're talking about witches. Don't marry witches. Marry a good woman. She's a helper. Many men think, I need to hustle and get money first. You are getting it wrong. One of the things that will force you to grow the most is marrying a good woman. She will challenge you. She will speak to you. She will help you. But you want to hustle alone. And they are not telling men. The lie they are telling young men is that you will be this way all your life. That you have time. You don't have time. The average age, your most fertile period as a human being is in your 20s. Anything outside of that, you're already running behind schedule. Your sexuality, your energy, everything about you is at its best in 20s. That's when you should marry and start having the kids. From 30 and 30 plus, the doctors here can confirm, once you get pregnant, they will start calling you names. High risk, elderly Pramagavida. You'll be hearing names. You'll be saying, hey, who are they talking about? It's you. It's you. You came late. They will start calling you names. At 40, you don't want to hear how much is being spent to freeze eggs. Oh, you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear. Google it. Investigate it yourself. How many? See, we are civilizing ourselves out of God's will. I want to wait till I have all the money. No. Start with your one-room. See, life is not linear. You can't suspend everything because you are going to school or because you are building a career. No, build a career while you are doing. There are some things that can't wait. Your biology is not in the meeting you are having. That I'm going to finish my career. Your biology is not in that meeting. It doesn't agree. So they're not telling young men that by 40, you are not in your prime anymore. Imagine somebody by 40 say, that was your dream. I want to play for Nigeria in the World Cup at 40. You can't choose to do that. If you're going to play for Nigeria, you have to start at teenagers. At 40, even coach, you are older than the coach. They won't allow you to play. They won't tell you that by 40 you start getting bald. They don't tell the young men that. Say, I want to hustle first. You will get bald. Your bald, being bald is not going to attend that meeting. By 40 you start needing glasses. By 40 your bone will start telling you I'm tired. You're not telling them that you think you have all the time. You don't. Is it sperm quality? Is it egg quality? By 40? They will tell you, yes, sometimes miracles happen or some people just are able to give birth, but most people, most doctors will tell you the egg quality at 40. One of my sons in the Lord went to do IVF. The wife was 40-something. 40, 42, 40. The doctor said, I'm not going to waste my time. That your eggs have 0.02 chance. The man said, if you don't want to get on that egg, I'll return your money. You're just going to waste my time. That's at 40. So they don't tell people this. That look, the time you're wasting is going to catch up with you. That thing you are pushing ahead, you are also costing. Even, there are four things the Bible says you do when you are young. Number one, the Bible says, know the Lord in the days of your youth. Very important. Because that way you make right decisions. Boys that grow up in church early, marry early, and get their life in the right direction early, they are less likely to get into alcoholism and drugs and all those vices that young people get into. Secondly, they said, bear the burden in the days of your youth. That means, pursue your career path early. Most kingdom shakers, you find out, they discovered themselves early. Most billionaires that are shaping the world, go and check. The Mark Zuckerbergs and the Bill Gates and co. They all founded their companies early. When you can take risk. It's difficult to take risk at 48 when you have 3 children. You want to leave your job and go into tech. You can't, you're afraid. have 4 children. So they say, bear the burden in the days of your youth. Start quick. Number three, they say the wife of your youth. Marry quickly. Or else you can't be active in service if you marry too late. The demands of having sex is work. You get tired. You get older. The fourth thing, they said, the children of your youth. Some, again, they don't tell you that raising children requires energy. Nobody tells you that. You think just having them is all you need to do. Raising them. Woo! If you grew up in a house where you were up to 3 or 4 of you or 5 of you, you can testify that the way they raised the firstborn is not how they raised the lastborn. I'm the lastborn in my house. Trust me, the way my elder brothers are describing my parents, I'm saying that's not the same parents. They probably adopted me. It's not the same parents. Because you will get tired. My father, by the time I was going to high school, I mean university, my father, he had moved to village. He was tired. It's my elder brothers that paid my fees. For them, he was taking them to university. He was taking them himself across the country to their universities. By the time the second one, okay, the third one, getting tired. The fourth one, I say, if you want to be useful, be useful. If you don't want to be useful, don't be useful. Your energy is not going to be there forever. That's the lie they tell young people, that I'm going to be this strong forever. No, you will not. Your energy is going to give up on you. Biology is going to give up on you. You won't have the same mental energy, the same physical energy. Even your brain changes after a certain time. Your ability to adapt new information. That's why it's difficult to change old people. Your brain is tired. You want to teach them something new, you say, no, what I know is what I know. I can't change, you can't learn something new. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So there's energy to raise. When my son, it took us a while to have kids, about 8 years. So it wasn't even intentional. When my son is about 10, I'm about 50. When he wants to play football, daddy, come outside. When I do one pass, bring chair. Then you want to start at 50. You want to start at 40. And some people start so late, not knowing that they will have delays with childbirth. I have friends today that married at 45, thinking I'll just wing it. They are now 55. The first child has not come. You're playing with nature. You're playing with biology. Nobody beats nature. You don't beat biology in the game. He's going to be constant. You adapt to him. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, start quickly. Then the last thing. I've talked about number one, how fit are you? Number two, how what? Equipped are you? I've talked about the knowledge, the purpose of marriage. Another thing you need to be equipped with is the differences between men and women. You can't marry, you are taking a creature home, a different creature home. You must be taught how to deal with this creature. And if you understand what I'm saying, when I bought dogs, I'm an animal lover, so I buy all kinds of things. It's one of my weaknesses. I buy any, if I see dinosaurs, I will buy. Even when I don't know how they keep them. So I bought 2 pit bulls. You know pit bulls? They are banned in some countries. Pit bulls, those dogs that when they bite something, they don't let go. I saw 2. Instead of buying one, I bought the 2. Took them home. Those dogs tore my house. My furniture, they tore it to pieces. And I was a young couple that we furniture we save money to buy. The dogs tore. The dogs, we climbed the cooker. My wife cooked pot of soup. These dogs, they climb, just they jump. These dogs could jump. They can jump from here to this place. That's how they are. They are wild dogs. They jump the cooker. Do you understand? They can't climb. They jump from ground to a cooker. You know cooker? They jump the cooker, open the pot, and they ate. A whole pot of soup with meat and fish and everything inside. Wild dogs. Wild dogs. So we had to go and call a trainer to train us how to train the dog. Because they said these dogs are too dangerous. It's not leash that controls them. So you see, because we're taking a strange creature home, we need trainers. They said to us, look, dog, these dogs are pack animals. And you don't control pack animals without being dominant. They only obey dominance. If you tell them sit and they don't sit, they don't interact with them again. Don't repeat your command. So they better teach us things like that. You don't tell dog, sit. Please sit. I beg you, sit. No. If you do that, the dog knows you are not dominant enough. He's not going to obey you. Like if you say sit, stand your ground until he sits. Don't do it. So they begin to teach us those things. That's how it is when you take a man or woman home. You have taken a strange creature to your house. Very different from you. Very different from you. Sometimes when I see a difference between man and woman, I'm wondering why God thought we could live together. 2 different brains. 2 different way of thinking. 2 different everything. How men and women interact with things, very different. Even our biology is wired differently. A man's eyes, different from a woman's eyes. Men's eyes are wired for vision. They can see better on a straight line. A woman's eyes are wired for details. She sees better by the side of her eyes. So science says that, statistics show that most accidents women have are from up front. That they see well on the side. So they see car coming from the side. That most accidents men have is from the side. They don't see well from the side. They see well up front. Because men are wired for vision and focus. Women are wired for details. They can have 3 or 4 children playing. A woman can watch all 3 of them while she's watching a movie. If you try the same thing with a man, he's watching match. You come back and say, John, where are the children? Say, two children. Are they children? They want to score. You're asking for children. Where are children? He can't multitask like you. A woman can't multitask. And she can see from the corner of her eyes. I tell men that are married or engaged, whenever you're sitting with your wife and watching TV, she's reading your phone. But if you're watching a film, you type your phone, she can read it. Her eyes can see from here. She's going up by 4. Where are you going by 4? She's reading your chart. She can see from the corner of her eyes. And most women think we too can see from the corner of our eyes. We can't. So when they want to gossip with us, they'll say, women can be gossiping about somebody and not looking. 2 women we hear, a young fine boy enters. Two guys, hey, see that fine boy that just came in. They're looking here. See the boy here. See that fine boy. That, ah, yes, that guy cute. Oh, ah, nice guy. The guy doesn't know they've already summarized him. But they're looking, but you see, men, on the other hand, if men see fine girl, he has to turn his whole face. So the girl knows you are staring. And women now come and gossip with their husband. Say, see that couple that enter. Don't look. What's he going to do? He's going to look because he can't see from the corner of his eyes. He's going to have to turn. So, wired differently. Men are rugged. Women are refined. Women came from the most polished bone in a human being's body, the rib. Men came from dust. Death. So he's rugged. A man can wear his boxers for 4 days and still be smelling it if he can wear it one more day. He's rugged. Death doesn't scare him. But a woman cannot even wear one underwear for one full day. She wants to be clean by nature. That she's refined. That's how God wired it. A man is work-oriented. The first thing God gave man was work. That's the first thing. So he's very project and work-minded. He never prayed for a wife. The first thing God gave Eve was a husband. So women are family-oriented. Even though society is trying to shame them for it. But women are family. That's the balance of the home. So you must be equipped to know. Women are family. They love family. They love love. Women love love. That's how they are wired. I've preached in different continents of the world. All women are the same when they are proposed to. Just proposed to her. He wants to die. Like this, what she has been waiting for all her life. Have you seen men doing that before? Men propose, say, are you sure? Are you ready? This man, you want to go? Are you? Men are not excited. But the woman, and the woman will show that woman that she doesn't even know. See, they don't even know who she is. They don't know who proposed. So that's an idiot that proposed. Because they know in the world of women, a win for one is a win for one. Glory to God. This book, for instance, A to Z of Marriage, we broke down what love means to a man and what it means to a woman. Because we discovered that men and women didn't know what it means to love each other. They were trying to love each other the same way. A woman was trying to love a man as if she's a woman. The man is trying to love a woman as if he's a man. They're not the same. Most men are talking to their wife as if it's their buddy. It's their guy, fellow guy. No emotions. Just talking straight. What do we do next week? Yes, we go. Thank you. God bless you. No! She's a woman. The way she processes information is different. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Same thing, women are trying to talk to their husbands like he's a woman. You see, when you see women talking, they can jump from one conversation to a totally different conversation and now come back. You might say, which one are we discussing? What are we even arguing about? Let's be clear. Let's take one per time. Because his own brain doesn't work that way. So, we broke down what love means to a man and a woman in this book, A to Z of Marriage. In alphabetical order, men and women. We taught the women, A for men is acceptance. One of the ways you love a man is by accepting who he is. Many women struggle to respect their husbands because they are comparing him to a picture or a graven image that they have. Most quarrels in a home is not about the man, it's about unmet expectations. Most men don't know that every woman was in love before she met you. She was in love with an image. If she has a great pastor, she's in love with his teaching style. Oh, see the way he breaks the word of God. She's in love with that image. If she has a great boss in the office, I like the way he's financially stable and responsible. If she has a good father, I love the way he's emotionally available. So she's in love with these images. Then you now come. She's looking at her dreams and looking at her reality. What I ordered, that was what I got. It's not quite the same. So her unhappiness is not because of you. It's because of her dreams that didn't come to pass. But what most women need to know is that if you accept this man for where he is and love him enough and help him enough for where he is, he will come to where your dream is. Hallelujah. So acceptance. We taught the men, A for women is attention. Give them attention. Women like attention. You can't marry a woman, you don't notice her dressing, you don't notice her change in hairstyle. You don't attention. Women like attention. A woman doesn't need all of your attention. She just needs your full attention. I'll say that again. A woman doesn't need all of your attention. She just needs your what? Full attention. What does this mean? She doesn't need 24 hours. But this 30 minutes we are talking. Can you drop everything? Drop everything and focus. You need to fill her attention tank. She likes attention. Notice her. She comes back from work or somewhere. Stop everything. Just receive her well. Notice her. Walk around with her. Ask her how her day went. And really pretend to listen. No, we can't catch up with everything you people say. Because for women, what men can say in one sentence, a woman will take 1 hour to say it. Our capacity has finished. So just be saying, oh, yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, oh, why? Just be saying those few words. Then when she says, you know my friend Jennifer. Guys, you know Jennifer. Don't say who is Jennifer. Eh? They will start explaining to you who Jennifer is. That's under 30 minutes. Say, you know Jennifer? Ah, I know Jennifer now. Your friend. He said, no, my cousin. I mean, your cousin that became your friend. Yes. Your friendly cousin. Yes. Are you here, somebody? Attention. We thought the women are for men is respect. Men like respect. We taught the women that arrow for men is respect. For men, arrow is, for women rather, arrow is romance. I'll talk about that one tomorrow in service. Praise God. But this book, A to Z, will help you to know men and women better than how to make love to a woman without touching her. That one too will help you. It's compulsory for all men. Please get this one. A woman is broken into four parts. She's first emotional, secondly spiritual, thirdly mental, lastly physical. All right? I repeat, first emotional, secondly spiritual, mental, then physical. On the other hand, a man is opposite of that. He's first physical, secondly mental, then spiritual, then lastly emotional. So he's opposite. That's why women don't understand why 80,000 of us are in the stadium watching World Cup. Men are just there watching. Play, watching other men run around. So women are saying, what are they doing there? We are physical. We like it. Physical activity. So that causes a clash. Because when they want to have sex, for instance, the man wants to start physically. Just go straight to the point. He doesn't know that thing irritates women. It irritates women. He just goes, in his mind, he's sexy. Very irritating. If you want to make love to her, you start emotionally. You don't start physically. A woman likes sex, she enjoys sex, but she doesn't just start physically. She takes time to warm up. But men are already warmed up. He's a physical being. So he doesn't understand why we need to talk. I canceled one couple. The man was so angry. He said, Pastor, can you imagine? We're making out, about to have sex. And my wife said, we need to talk. That she spoiled the mood. I said she didn't spoil the mood. She was trying to get in the mood. Because she's just onboarding that thing in her heart. She can't flow. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So a book like this will help you understand that better. Have you been blessed this morning? Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand.